to Mr. Biz Radio, Biz Talk for Biz Owners. If you're ready to stop faking the funk and take your business onward and upward, this show is for you. And now, here's Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth.
All right, welcome to another episode of Mr. Biz Radio with me, Mr. Biz Ken Wentworth. And you guys might notice, those who are watching, our viewers, I've never worn this. So if you're listening, you have to bear with me. I'm actually wearing a baseball jersey today, a Mr. Biz Nation baseball jersey. I've never worn this for the show. And I wore it today in honor of our guest. And we're going to talk today about business owners. And everyone talks about, you know, oh man, go get them and do this and do that. And everyone's got the rah-rah thing. And you want to have, you know, high performers and things like that. But how do you actually create that environment? How do you foster a high performance mentality on your teams? So you might have that, and you might get frustrated when people on your team don't have that same mindset. Look, I'll tell you, it's frustrating for me sometimes. In my powerlifting career, and some of the guys I trained with didn't have that mentality, and it was just super frustrating for me. You hear about some of the greats in the game, the Kobe Bryants and the Michael Jordans, that got frustrated and were, like a lot of people say, were pretty much jerks to their teammates because they didn't work hard enough. And they would say, look, why should I pass you the ball? I'm working five times as hard as you are, and why should I throw you the ball, right? You didn't work hard. I'm not going to throw you the ball for you to screw up. So how do you foster that, especially in a business environment, not only from a sports perspective, but in a business environment, that get people to think more along those lines? So people they're not wired that way. So we're going to talk about that today. Our guest this day, today, because of my jersey, is Samantha Karch. She's a former NCAA Division I softball player at the University of Pittsburgh. I'm from near Pittsburgh, so I'll go with the Panthers there. She's an MBA graduate, Fortune 100 company trailblazer, and level up expert. She epitomizes the athlete who has hit it out of the park when she transitioned from her sports career. Samantha passionately crystallized her abilities, curated her knowledge, capitalized her assets, and catapulted her athletic career finale into a mega corporate and life success. Samantha, once referred to as Sammy from Miami, we're going to find out about that, is on a global mission to teach student athletes, coaches, administrations, and corporate athletes how to develop a proactive championship routine from day one that can be leveraged beyond their current capacity and role. Samantha, or should I call you Sammy from Miami? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I love your show. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation today. You can call me Sammy from Miami, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Well, I got to tell everyone. So we were talking before we started the show here. So I met Samantha over a year ago, and we talked, and I'm telling you, if it was 60 seconds, I'd be surprised. I think it was less than 60 seconds. She told me about coming on the show, and I said, I'm in, let's do it. And we had some scheduling things, some on our end. I think she had to reschedule once. And so it's been like a year since she was originally supposed to be on the show. So I've been looking forward to this. And that's why I was doing show prep the other day. And I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna be cool and wear a jersey because we're talking to a former athlete. So before we get into all this stuff, Samantha, tell us, I'm sure people are curious to hear, you know, being an athlete and everything, but tell us about, and then going into the corporate world, tell us about your career, entrepreneurial journey, if you would.
Yeah, so originally from Miami, Florida, thus the name Sammy from Miami. So we'll hit that right out of the gate. Born and raised in sport, played since I was 4 years old, competitively at eight, never had a summer off, never had a winter break off. It was an all-in type of thing for me. I didn't ever think that I was giving up anything because I loved sport. It was who I was for a really long time. And I literally decided that that was going to be my vehicle to pretty much make it in life. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I just knew that was what was going to happen. Ended up getting recruited at the University of Pittsburgh, full scholarship, and majored in chemistry. Didn't really know what I wanted to do with it, but pretty much when I graduated in 2009, you know, women's sports in terms of making a full-time career just wasn't there yet. So I aspired to be in the Olympics, and I said, well, why can't I parallel path a degree that'll be versatile? Really wanted to work on kind of the analytical skill sets that I didn't really have. I was really a lot more creative. And then at that point, I graduated. And this is where it gets really interesting. They had taken softball out of the Olympics that year. So all of my goals were slated to playing at the highest level. And guess what? I was face to face with a cliff dive of identity crisis. I didn't plan for it. All I knew was sports for my whole entire life. And I had this fancy chemistry degree and a financial crisis in front of me. So either I was going to let that define me and I would just have to survive, or I was going to figure a way to thrive. So I gave myself 2 weeks. As athletes, we don't like to ask for help, but I took my ego to the side, which is the first step. And I literally said, hey, all I need is a door. Let me get in. I need to hone in on more business acumen, because I felt like that was something lacking in my ability to get to that next level in my career outside of sport. So as you can imagine, I had a bleak resume, a great softball career, bunch of accolades. But you know, when you go to do an MBA program, you're really trying to cross-pollinate with others that are already in the industry that have 2 to 3 years of work experience. Well, guess what? A lot of people go into an MBA and they are primarily going for either a title bump or they're trying to do cross-functional collaboration. For me, I had the leadership experiential skill sets. I just needed to learn the skills. So I essentially then got into that. And then at the point there, I literally lived abroad, graduated on a Friday. I started work on a Monday with Honeywell International. And the rest is history. Created every role I was ever in. And by 26, ran $10 billion merger acquisitions. So you can't tell me what you can't do. All you have to do is take the first step, is something that I've lived through my whole entire life.
Well, and that's like the motto for entrepreneurs. You know, you probably have heard, I think someone said, not the definition, but like an entrepreneur is someone who jumps off a cliff and figures out how to build a plane on the way down. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had a similar experience. I didn't know when I left the corporate world what I was going to do. I just knew I would figure it out. And I think a lot of it was my confidence from my athletic career as well, is like, I've always been able to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm going to put everything in and I'm going to figure it out. I don't know what the heck it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't even want to try to define it at this point. I'm just going to keep charging ahead, jumping off that cliff, and I'm on my way down and time's running out. Let's figure this out. Let's MacGyver this thing, right? It sounds like you did that as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can either let things define you or you can create your pathway. And as an athlete, that's what you do every day. The thing you have to do is, we play in this finite game, in this infinite world of success, right? So it never ends. It's never going to be enough. So you have to kind of curate those moments of who you are, what you stand for, and why, and live inside out instead of what you think the world wants to see in. And so many times athletes, we kind of go towards that way. But you know, what if it works? As a softball player, I was batting 350. That was great, right? But that means I was failing 6.5, 7 out of 10 times.
Yep.
So how do I connect the dots to really turn that into something that is next level in my pathway outside of sport?
Well, and mentally, I mean, that's a great point. You know, they talk about, you know, in major leagues, you can fail 70% of the time and make the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. right? You only bat 300 and you can make the Hall of Fame potentially, only batting 300. But that means, to your point, you're quote unquote failing 70% of the time to get on the base. So that is a critical thing. I think another thing that builds athletes, whether it be baseball, softball, or any other sport, the failure, you have to be able to deal with those things. We're going to hit a break here. Guys, you can find out more at samanthacard.com. We'll put this in the show notes as well. Follow her on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're going to come back. We're going to find out more about how she helps people now.
If you would like to reach hundreds of thousands of business owners every week, Mr. Biz Radio can help. Our show airs globally 7 days a week for more than 25 hours across several internet radio stations, plus 20 plus podcast platforms. Also, video exposure on the new exclusive Mr. Biz Network streaming channel, which gets blasted to 100 plus streaming platforms, and the Mr. Biz YouTube channel, and our 350,000 social media followers multiple times every week. Join Mr. Biz Nation as an advertiser by emailing us at info@MrBizSolutions.com.
Attention, Mr. Biz Nation. We have an exclusive offer just for you. Get lifetime access to scarcity countdown timers and logic links for only $69. Yes, you heard it right. Only $69. These tools will add urgency to your email campaigns and website pages, helping you increase conversions, sales, and capture more leads. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Visit GetPulseTools.com now and take your business to new heights.
Got a question for Mr. Biz you want answered on air? Email it to info@MrBizSolutions.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show. It is time for the Mr. Biz Tip of the Week. And this one is, I like to call this Pricing Psychology 101. If you haven't realized this, when I tell you this, you're probably going to be like, have the light bulb go off above your head, and you're going to be like, oh, the last time I was in fill in the blank Target, wherever, right? Something you were shopping somewhere. And that is, and they did a study on this. This is from the Harvard Business Review. So this isn't like some janky, you know, whatever website or something. When consumers are given two different choices, two price choices, 80% of the time they'll choose the higher priced item. They feel like that the lower priced one is cheap. It's a piece of crap. They don't want it, right? If you give them three choices, 85%, it's a little bit higher, 85% of the time, guess what they choose? The middle one. I call it the Goldilocks theory. This one's too hot. This one's too cold. This one's just right. So keep that in mind and keep, as especially as you were, as a consumer, be mindful of that as well, as that's a pricing marketing ploy that a lot of places do. They really try to funnel. What they want you to do is buy the middle one, right? They give you three choices. They want you to go to the middle one. They want to make sure you stay off the cheap one. And some people will buy the higher price one just because they're highfalutin or, you know, trying to be bougie or whatever. But that's what they're trying to do, is get you towards that middle one that you feel like there's more value and things like that there. Also, if you're a business owner, keep that in mind with your pricing. So keep that in mind. Pricing Psychology 101, Goldilocks theory, as I call it. That's Mr. Biz Tip of the Week this week. Again, talking this week with Samantha Card. You can find out more at SamanthaCard.com. She's on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn as well. Look, before we even get into it, I want to talk about how you're helping people nowadays. But I don't know, someone whispered in my ear, someone told me that you may have maybe done a little something recently at some major, massive sporting event.
Just a little something. I think it's called the Super Bowl. It's just something there, right? No, it's great. And it's part of a Founders Live event, which really is congruent with what I'm doing now. And it's, you know, providing a safe haven ecosystem for athletes to think beyond sport. And some want to be entrepreneurs. Some want to enter into a small business. Some want to get into corporate America. And this is essentially a platform to really show others that they can do it. And they have to effectively pitch in less than 90 seconds. And the audience votes. So it's been an exciting experience.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me, and we were talking about this a little bit in the first segment, but going back to the whole athletic mentality, you know, when I was at JP Morgan and I would recruit people, I did some recruiting at Ohio University. And a lot of my peers would make fun of me because I'm at this, you know, financial institution, mm-hmm. white shirt and tie with the guys and all that stuff, right? And I would look for athletes, and maybe I was partial to them because I was, but I think more so it's that mentality that we're talking about here, that as an athlete, you have to have that high performance mentality, right? You don't have a choice. Otherwise, you're not going to be an athlete very long. And I would rather have someone who is an athlete and had a 3.3 GPA versus someone who has no social activities, no leadership, no anything, and they got a 4.0. Mm-hmm. I'll take the 3.3 athlete 8 days a week over the 4.0 person, because not only the social skills and everything like that, but working within a team, mm-hmm. Even if you're an individual sport, let's say you're a wrestler, you're still within a team. You're still working with teammates day in and day out. And there's a whole aspect to that I think that's super important, let alone on a team sport like you were with softball, mm-hmm. basketball, whatever it might be. I think that's super important. And so how do you see, Samantha, some of those skills, especially in your own career, but as well as some of the people you're helping now, that translate over from the athletic field or court into the corporate world or what have you, business world?
Yeah, well said on your side, and it resonates extremely well. And I kind of walk the walk on that piece of it. And, you know, I think the biggest thing too is the concept of athleticism and reframing what that means. Because a lot of times as athletes, we feel that we can't connect the dots between sports and life. And there's a lot of hard and soft skills, like you were alluding to, that are really congruent with the next stage in life. They're not siloed. Right. And what I do is I try to help bridge that gap, connect the dots of the unknowingness of what's next. right? Sports is something that is an area where we've leaned into, and for a lot of us was our solitude, our escape, depending on your background, right? So when you no longer have sport, you know, it's really around reframing the concept of corporate athleticism. So it's the same concept, like you were in the gym and you're on max day and you literally went to failure. That is what max day is. Well, the same concept in the workplace, right? Athletes are not afraid of failing. And a lot of times there's a lot of complacency in these corporate environments and just clocking in and clocking out. And what happens is you tolerate problems. You're not really root cause analyzing, you know, analyzing and having analysis on, well, really, what is the root of the issue at hand? Well, athletes will hit you straight on with it. Now, we may be radically candor. Maybe we, you know, overspeak, we show passion, but you can't teach heart. You can't teach grit. It's something that you learn through experience. And it's something that for me, because of my ability to fail, I've learned how to fail faster. So a good way to think about it is when I was up at bat as a freshman versus when I went up to bat as a senior, I still was the same player, but the way I processed the game and how it slowed down for me changed. Same thing in the corporate, right? In the business world. When you're a freshman, when you're new in it, you're overwhelmed. All your sensitivities are hitting you. You're exhausted by the end of the day, right? So when you're up at bat, a lot of times, if you're not swinging well, maybe as a freshman, you're going to let it get to you. And now that one up at bat becomes three bad at bats, becomes a slump for a couple games. And you really, you know, have to go deep inside and figure out how to get out of that rut, right? Whereas a senior, right? When you become a manager, you get the promotion, you feel seen, heard, and valued in the corporate environment. Your ideas are valued, right? There's collaboration among, you know, the culture. Same concept. You thrive in it, right? As a senior, I literally was making in-bat correction. I wasn't even waiting to the next at-bat. If I had one bad swing, I said, well, she got me on that one, right? There was no ego in the game. And for a lot of times, you know, when you go into the workforce, you go after power and success. And listen, I got really tied to that because that is measurement. And athletes, we like measurement. But then when you take a step back and you think about legacy, well, legacy isn't about you. Legacy goes beyond when you're on this earth. And it's around fulfillment and contribution. What can you help others to take and make it their own? And that's where I think athletes make a really good corporate athlete beyond sport.
Well, and I think the high performance mentality that you're talking about and that you coach people on, you know, going back to your analogy as a freshman, you have that performance mentality and you might be fighting for your job, right? You might be trying to overtake an upperclassman. So you're every at bat, you're like, oh my gosh, if I go 0 for 3 today, I might not start the next game. And then if she goes on a run, I might not play the rest of the season unless she has it, you know, right? Whereas a senior, you're more established, but now it's not like you just sit on your laurels and you go, oh, well, I'm the starter. I'm good to go. I was all conference last year. Now it's different things, right? It's now I'm batting third. I'm batting fourth. I'm batting fifth. There's runners on base when I come to bat. So it's a different thing, but it's still that always raising the bar mentality of that whole aspect of it.
Yeah. And you nailed it there, right? So the way I thought about it was, what is the role I need to play for the team, right? There is no I in team, but there is an M and an E in it. Kobe Bryant said that.
That's right.
And the reason he said that is if I can't work on myself and bring my best self forward, how am I going to hold other people accountable for the common team? Yep. And if you're not going to operate at the level I'm going to operate, I'm not going to pass you the ball. And that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we're going to have a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to pick Samantha's brain a little bit on how to be able to foster some of this high performance mentality with our teams.
Attention, Mr. Biz Nation. We have an exclusive offer just for you. Get lifetime access to scarcity countdown timers and logic links for only $69. Yes, you heard it right. Only $69. These tools will add urgency to your email campaigns and website pages, helping you increase conversions, sales, and capture more leads. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Visit GetPulseTools.com now and take your business to new heights.
Check out all three of Mr. Biz's best-selling books at MrBizBooks.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. If you are a business owner and you have been being crushed by healthcare costs recently, providing healthcare for your employees, as well as you and your family yourself, I got something I want you guys to check out. I'm not affiliated with this company, but I'm talking with some of my clients actually about them, and I wanted to pass it on to you guys. You can go out to MrBizHealth.com. Again, it's MrBizHealth that bought the domain. That's not me. But they wanted to make it easy for listeners and viewers to be able to remember it. But MrBizHealth, so they have over 500 different plans. Cost savings they average over a typical health plan is 30 to 70%. They've got plans that start as low as $73 a month for individuals, $378 for families. You can keep your current providers. It's not limited to any in-network anything. It's actually a nonprofit company, so it cuts through a lot of the typical healthcare BS stuff you have with the middlemen and all that. It's open. There's no open enrollment, so you can join at any time. But definitely go check that out. Again, I'm kicking the tires with some of my own clients on this, and one so far. It's a company that's got about 70 employees, and the savings they're going to have is massive. And actually, the health plan they're going to be on, they're going to save. The savings for them is going to be about 44%. It looks like 44 to 46%, and the healthcare plan is actually better. So definitely go check it out, MrBizHealth.com. I wanted to pass that along. All right, Samantha, it is time to pay the piper. Give us some tips on what we can do. I know you talk about this. I know you had mentioned a little bit, but you know how to fail faster, have that mentality and things. But maybe that is incorporated in some of this. But how can we, how do you get that person on your team that just really doesn't have that sort of mentality? How do you sort of foster that and grow that with people on your team?
Well, I think the first step is knowing that not everybody thinks the way you think. So you have to think outside of yourself a little bit and maybe take the time to learn their why. Why are they there? It sounds really cliche, but it's extremely impactful. People like to talk about themselves. People like to feel seen, valued, and heard. So hear people, value them, and really listen to hear, not listen to speak. You know, a lot of times we talk about, communication is key on teams. I actually think that's bogus. It's comprehension. You can talk all day, but if someone's not receiving it in the manner that is best for them, where are we really going? Nowhere. It's like the hamster wheel. So I think it does kind of go together, because if someone doesn't feel seen, heard, and valued, if they're not really comprehending what you're saying, even if it's a top-down initiative, now you have a problem, and now you have to tolerate the problem. And now you're putting a Band-Aid instead of going straight at it because you're afraid of controversy. You don't want to have your 9-to-5 issues, right? So it becomes this ripple effect of now it's so far out of your grasp that now it feels like you have to climb a mountain. Well, it's not the mountain you have to worry about. It's the pebble in your shoe.
Yeah, I love that.
And a lot of times we always are just looking at that big mountain, those big numbers. I have to hit my quarter numbers, the cost, my expenditures are up. My cost to serve is there. And these are important things to consider, right? But at the end of the day, if you don't love what you're doing or you find value in what you're doing, you're going to get burnt out and you're not going to show up your best self. And then you're going to impact someone else. And then it's just going to be a domino effect of horrible, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the biggest, ways that all kind of connects.
Yeah, I love that. And it alludes to, it's a little bit sort of a tangent to what you're talking about, but what you described is I look at when people do that, they're treating a symptom and not the problem, right?
Oh, perfect. Well said.
I hurt my knee and I'm just going to take ibuprofen and wrap my knee every time instead of getting my knee fixed, figure out what the heck, how did I hurt my knee? Because if I don't figure out how I hurt my knee in the first place, I'm going to keep hurting my knee. I'm going to keep needing to take anti-inflammatories and wrapping my stupid knee. And maybe if you get surgery and fix it, if you don't figure out how you messed it up in the first place, you're going to end up with another surgery. Fix the problem and not the symptoms. And I think people do that too often. And I use that, per your pebble in the shoe versus the mountain. Like, don't worry about it. You get this pebble out of your shoe and you can climb that mountain a lot easier than having the pebble in your shoe and trying to climb the mountain at the same time.
Of course. And I think this is something that I feel if you're okay for me to share to your audience is, I worked in manufacturing, so I worked for Honeywell. Just because I'm in sports now, right? There is no traditional pathway. And a lot of times as athletes, we like to do hard things as high performance individuals, you don't have to be an athlete to have an high performance mentality of, I just want to go at it. I want to be challenged, right? But just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And that's a huge one too. And to your point about the symptoms and stuff, it's all around taking a step back. And sometimes if you actually simplified, you wouldn't need to streamline something. Because if you simplified the process, you could really bypass a bunch of the things you were going to streamline in the first place. And I was, one of the projects I worked on was simplifying the product SKUs. It seems simple and arbitrary, but why do you have 150 SKUs when in reality, you're only really selling three? And the ones that you're selling that you aren't making a lot of money, those customers that aren't paying you a lot, exactly to your tip of the day, if you're not having someone paying a higher value and stuff, they're probably going to give you a little bit more headache, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it kind of all goes together.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But I love what you said. I want to back up a little bit. I love what you said about initially about not everyone thinks the way you do, because I think that's a really challenging thing for someone who's a high performance, goal oriented, you know, typically an athlete has that mindset, is it's difficult for them. Think about how many absolute Hall of Fame players in all sports are awful coaches. They're awful coaches. And I think a lot of it alludes to what you said, Samantha, is they just expect, number one, maybe they have natural talent. And so they don't get why you don't know that on an 0-2 count with the runner on second, that they're probably going to throw you an off speed away. They're like, that's just natural. Why don't you think that way? Right. Cause they don't have your talent, but also they don't have your work ethic, maybe your teamwork, all the things you talked about earlier. And so I think that's an important thing as a high performing person, because otherwise I think it's easy for someone like that to just steamroll people and say, you stink, you're not working hard enough, get out of the way. Like I alluded to earlier, like Kobe Bryant was known to do that to some teammates and Michael Jordan, trying to motivate people. So I think that's a big thing that really, especially in the corporate world, can lead to, you know, combative relationships and bad situations with that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, when I first entered the workforce, right, first in, last out, control my controllables, all the things we hear all the time.
Yep.
But what became interesting about that was I had to shift my bull in a china cabinet mentality, because not everyone wanted it the same way I wanted it. And I treated everything like I wanted to win. Winning to me is everything. Still is. But the definition of winning and success has changed. And it's not about me. And I took myself out of my ego-driven desire to win and said, well, hold on a minute. If it's not about me, what do I need to change? What do I need to look inside myself, right? And even though I may not like it, even though I may not resonate with that, I'm going to listen to hear and understand. I'm going to comprehend. I don't have to agree, but I have to understand where that common ground is so we can have thoughtful debate. So then that person that maybe won't vocalize because they're not as loud has, you know, the ability to sit at the table and actually come with their best ideas, because guess what? They probably have some good ones. They just don't feel seen, heard, and valued. And it always goes back to that for me. So that was kind of one of the things that I learned, you know, right on. And that's because you try to create that identity in different ways.
Yeah, I love that. I found that out the hard way when I became a leader and not, you know, thinking everyone else would think that way. So we're running out of time here, but I know you'd casually mentioned, I did some stuff at the Super Bowl, but you also have another pretty exciting thing coming up here with the NFL Combine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have just launched our Success Beyond Game Day mind pilots. So they're mind labs. So what we're doing is we're helping to actually break down heart, grit, emotion, resiliency, storytelling, and we're helping them hone in and connect the dots to articulate who they are beyond the game. So we're combining and helping these guys perform at the highest level on and off the field.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Again, we'll put it in the show notes, SamanthaCard.com. Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Samantha, we're out of time, but thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a good time to talk with you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Guys, have a fantastic rest of your week. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, as always. And don't forget, cash flow is king.
To become part of Mr. Biz Nation, follow him on all social media platforms or never miss a show by going to MrBizRadio.com. If you prefer free video content, visit the Mr. Biz YouTube channel or check out his streaming channel, which is available on 100 plus streaming platforms at MrBizNetwork.com.